I'm excited about this morning. You know, I get into where God, just a while back, back there at the end of May, whenever I got to mention on delighting ourselves in the Lord, that was the first message. And I had no idea I was doing some sort of series, Howdy. You know, that's usually not my area, the way I do things. It's usually different. But each deal just led into something else. As of, you know, we went from delighting ourselves in the Lord and to meditating on the Word, you know, and talking about those things. And so I'm just a quick review. Turn to Psalms chapter 1, and we're just going to review something here. And I think a little bit of a, I don't know how just to put it, but I think God so prepared the body of Christ, you know, and we've had so many years of blessings and abundance, and I think we've had a tendency, as we shared in tithes and offerings, we forgot a little bit about where that come from. You know, God, you know, we've had the, you know, people took, when you talk about the just walking by faith and the prosperity and divine health and that gets, anytime I think it's kind of like winning, rather it's whatever sport you're in. For us it's roping and rodeo, and for others, you know, but when the winning just keeps going and going, and we get to take it a little bit for granted, and then when it doesn't go our way, it's like, we don't cry about it, but we have a little, maybe we like, well, that shouldn't happen to me kind of deal. And we've kind of come that way in America, you know, of just from the standpoint of, it's like, well, we're a blessed nation, and we are a blessed nation, but we, you know, it's not going to be roses. I think about Paul and in the chains, and when he's writing the epistles, you know, and it's like he's counting it all joy. And I'll admit, I had a hard time grasping and understanding why I'd want to do that sometimes. And if you're honest, you felt the same way. You know, but when we get there to realize, when I delight myself in the Lord, Psalms chapter 1, we talked about this. This was the end of May. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law or the word of the Lord. And delighting in the word of God is a heartfelt commitment to his teachings driven by love and desire to please him. Did y'all get that? To delight in the word of God is a heartfelt commitment to his teachings driven by a love and desire to please him. And so when we delight ourselves there and we get that desire to please God, and it begins to get down our heart, the obstacles it takes to go through those, say the things that we encounter that are maybe what looks like to be a setback or something, will not kill our delight. We'll not allow it to. We're going to make my mind up. You know what? I'm going to please God, and no matter what the situation is. And you know, all of us, every day, we encounter situations and circumstances that would try to set us back, would try to discourage us. It's like, you know, the enemy, you know, again, we know he walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if he can get us sidetracked on things there that takes our mind off delighting in the Word of God, then we're over in the ditch a little bit. I don't know how many of y'all been stuck the last couple of weeks. Man, I'll be honest. The evening I got stuck, I was not counting it all joy. Because it's the day of the 4th. Me and Kathy are going to check a little fence and ease around. We still got water flowing on the northwest side of our arena. It's about 2 or 3 foot deep in places. It's starting to go down. It goes down fast, you know. But it's been flowing for a while. And we had approximately 28 inches that day. And we're driving along there and just nice ground bestie, and all of a sudden the mule goes vroom out of sight. Well, for you guys that know, if the mule went out of sight, you don't take your tractor down there. And I didn't. I'm like, no. So it sat there 3 days. And that evening I pouted. I was aggravated. I'm like, I need my mule. And so 3 days later, it ain't quit raining. And I'm like, okay, I need my mule. So I went down there with a shovel and some jacks and lots of boards and rocks. And it was sitting on the plate on the bottom. I mean, you didn't step out of the mule. You almost had to step up to get on the ground. But it dug easy, Roger. It was not hard to dig. It was soft. The hard part was keeping the boards above ground long enough to get it jacked up to where you get stuff underneath it. But, you know, it's like, that's okay. And especially all those little situations compared to what so many people went through, you know, I'm not discounting any of those things. I'm just saying we encounter things every day that are trying to steal the joy. And if we do not delight in the Word of God, our joy gets stole, and then our eyes are off where God's trying to make sure we walk, so that we're not only enjoying what we're doing, we're causing thanksgiving unto Him and causing other people to enjoy and have success in what they're doing. And so I got a delight. And I know over the years, you know, especially the last couple for me, you know, it's been, I mean, and Kathy will tell you, there's some days your delight isn't real big, but I said it a lot nicer than she says it sometimes, Rick. She reminds me. Not really. Kathy's really good about not. She doesn't, but she will remind me. So we went from delighting. The next message was meditating on the Word of God. Still in that same passage of Scripture. In verse 2, and in His law, in His Word, He meditates day and night, and He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. His leaf will not wither, and whatever He does shall prosper. And look over at Psalms 5, verse 12. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. I expect the favor of God everywhere I go and in everything I do. But if we don't delight in the Word, if we're not in the Word, if we're not studying the Word and talking the Word, you know, we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 when he said, you know, this Word, you have to keep it before your eyes and in your mouth and in your heart. And you talk about it when you sit down, when you rise up, when you lie down at night, when you're at the table. You talk about it with your kids, your grandkids, your neighbors. You start talking about it. And if we're talking the Word, we ain't talking trash. Now, I better just keep going. So we meditate on the Word, and meditating on God's words causes us to actively engage His Word into every aspect of our lives. We're constantly thinking about it and reflecting on it. So let me give you just a little example. You don't have to turn here. I got to find it. It's in Psalms. I think it's in Psalms 106. And Ty Jones, for those of y'all that's met Ty, he told me about this one day, and I told Corey about it. Corey forgot to write it down. And he was off, and like I said, I gotta find it. It's in my other Bible. It's underlined, and this one it's not. But it is in Psalms 106. And, come on. It's right, 20, I think it's 20, maybe 28. Well, I know it's right here somewhere. I couldn't find it the other day either. Anyway, I'm going to tell you the gist of it. He said, I will not allow your cattle to decrease. And Ty was telling me that under the deal, you know, that he runs a lot of yearlings and stuff, you know. And when him and Luann got married, you know, she and talking about it with him one day, he said, well, we figure in a 2% death loss when we start buying all these cattle. And she said, why would you do that? And she reads in this scripture, God cares about your cattle. He will not even let your cattle decrease. And, you know, so it's, you know, that's not just our cattle. It's our investments. It's our children. It's our health. God will not let that decrease. When we maintain that relationship, when we meditate. So again, meditating on God's Word causes us to actively engage His Word into every aspect of our lives. We're constantly thinking about it and reflecting on it. And so over a period of time, you know, by doing that, this is where the title comes in. Delighting in the Word plus meditating on the Word gives birth to expectation. Relentless expectation. So when we expect something to happen, we're thinking, we've been meditating on it and thinking about it, and then we got to go to Philippians 4. Lord, you said, don't be anxious for anything. But Lord, I'm anxious because I'm expecting. It's a righteous anxiousness. It's not a sinful anxiousness. It's a confidence that we're expressing by this relentless expectation that I've been being a doer of the Word, and my heart, you know, I'm Lord, my eyes are fixed on you. I'm trusting in you with all my heart. I'm leaning not on my own understanding. I expect you to help me pin these cattle today. And I have applied that like that, and I have got them pinned by myself when you just didn't think it could happen. I had a guy one day with me. I'm helping a man, actually. I'm trying to help him get started on a ranch there. He's been hard to do. And we got to go pin 80 head of yearlings one morning, Audie out of a brush pasture over off of 1311 back in there. And I'm not, if I wasn't really confident that morning, Sharon, might not have been good. And we got 80 head of yearlings, big old yearlings, and we got to pin them that morning. And we ain't got no dogs, Audie. We just got the three of us on horseback. And we walked every one of them. We stopped and prayed that morning. We unloaded the horses. I said, first thing we're going to do is pray. And we prayed before, as we unloaded the horses, and we stepped the horseback and we took off. And we walked, I think, 78 or 79 of them to the pens. We had one, he was a little wiry, and he stayed up, but we got him. And, y'all, I ain't talking about a little brush. It was rough. And they looked at me and said, we probably should pray every morning before we start, don't you think? Now, really, give God praise. I mean, it's being willing to be focused and know that God is desiring to enter into every aspect of our lives. And when it does, you know, the neat thing about cowboying like that is if it didn't work the first time, you'll probably have another opportunity tomorrow to start try again. And so when we, and it's the same thing no matter what the area, if we'll get that attitude, you know what? It didn't work today, but I'm going to do it tomorrow. And when we start doing that, pretty soon, I think the enemy's like, I'm tired of messing with these guys. I'm getting out of here because this is going to work. And then they're going to tell somebody else, and these people are going to see it, and they're going to tell somebody else, and I'm going to have a bunch of people out there that I can't whoop. And we're going to say, that's right. You ain't whooping me no more in the area of my life. You ain't stealing my kids. You ain't stealing my finances. You ain't stealing my health. You know, we got to get determined. We got to get this attitude that this relentless expectation that the Word of God, it says it does not return void. It's going to accomplish that which God intends. And and it's just like, where's my softball player go? Did she go to church back there with the kids this morning? Anyway, she went. Anyway, okay, I'll pick on somebody else. I'll use Ricky. I'm going to use John. When you weld something, you expect that weld to hold, do you not? You have worked at it. You know what you're doing. And so when you weld it, you fully expect it to work. We should be no different with the Word of God. We got a young lady with us today, Audie. She ropes really well. And I don't know where her expector is, but I'm expecting her for her to win lots of money. Because she's going to be riding one of my horses to do it. But you expect to do good, don't you, Audie? Because you practice. Ricky, you've worked at it all these years. You expect to play beautiful music. that glorifies God. You know, whatever we do, whatever God's called us to do, we have to cultivate that expectation and know that I'm delighting in the Word of God. I got this relentless expectation that if it didn't work this time, it will work on the next one. I was listening to, I don't know how many of y'all watched the Cowboy Channel and Ty Harris with that Let's Freaking Rodeo thing. But he had JJ on there a while back, Hampton from Stephenville. And she's a little rough around the edges in some areas, but she was sharing. She said, you know, the way she said, I missed 19 calves in a row. But she said, I expected to catch the next one. And she did. She won first. So she starts, you know, there's a saying there, you know, if you're winning, whatever you're doing, when you're winning, you got to do as much of it as you can while it's going good. Roy Cooper, I think, really brought this in there several years ago. Somebody said, you know, like, what do you do when you're not winning? He said, I go to more so I can start winning again. So what are we expecting every day? You know, is it when it hits us, are we just going to stop and say, well, no more? Or are we going to, you know, it's one thing if God's directing a new direction, but if He hasn't told us you need to move on something else, then we got to keep going. And we got to have this relentless expectation that I'm meditating the Word, I delight myself in the Word, I'm a doer of the Word, and I'm counting on you, God. And He said, I'm counting on you too. Don't back off. So I'll find these scriptures. He said, don't back off. Romans 4, verse 20. Turn there, put your eyes on it, you know. This was about Abraham. And I mean, we probably all remember it, but Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And, you know, people get hung up on righteous, thinking, well, I'm not righteous. Well, if you got saved and are born again, you're righteous. Even though some days we don't act righteous, some days we don't act holy. But that's the path we're on. And God said, you're the righteousness of me in Christ Jesus. So there in Romans chapter 4, you know, it starts in verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted unto him for righteousness. If we just believe God, he accounts that unto us for righteousness, and the steps of a righteous man and woman are ordered of the Lord. So it really don't matter, you know, that things that we perceive as not being I want to make sure I say this correctly, but we'll get the idea because something went wrong and it couldn't have been a God. Well, that's not right. You know, if Paul had thought that, well, he'd have died in prison. He'd be like, well, I'm here in chains. I'm supposed to be out preaching the gospel. Did it look like maybe he couldn't go another direction? He was bound up in chains. Sometimes we need to realize, you know, the persecution, you know, the obstacles, they're going to be there. But he said, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. We are overcomers by the blood of Christ. So we just keep going. We just keep doing. And, you know, I've told God before, if you want me there, you're going to have to translate me there because I'm not going over there. You know, I'm willing to go, but you're going to have to I'm going to have to wake up there. Sometimes I don't need to be quite that hard-headed about changing directions, but no, we do. We got to get this tenacity about us that, God, until I know for sure it's not you, I am going on. I am not backing down. I'm not wavering because there's people in our area of influence that need to know who Jesus is. And that they're going through things that, you know what? You know, God knew us, each one, before he formed us in our mother's womb. I declare this over myself and over y'all, a lot of people every day, my family, friends. But in Psalms 139, he said, I fashioned your days before you before I formed you in your mother's womb. I wrote them in my book. Look at that. Go to Psalms 139. Let's go there right fast. Relentless expectation. I'm expecting. You know, Dennis McKinley one day, I told y'all this a few weeks ago probably. He said one day, he said, man, I got up this morning. He said, there ain't nothing went right. He said, you know, I realized later, I never did visit with God that morning before I took off. I said, you know, I try not to have any of those mornings. I'm not legalistic about this, but I do believe that I'm supposed to get my orders every day from God. So what I'm supposed to do for the day. Because sometimes I go to bed at night with my own plans. And the next morning, God, you wake up and you start to go, you know, I'm even go read and pray, but I wasn't listening maybe. I might have just been going through the motions that morning because that's what I do. But I do, I really believe, I'm like, Lord, you're going to show me today if there's a change. And you'll start something because we weren't listening. And it's just like a struggle. You think, maybe I'm supposed to do that other thing God laid on my heart this morning first. And when we do that, everything eases up and we go. It's this relentless expectation causes that to be manifest in our lives. It brings about the manifestation of the very ordering of our steps by the Lord. To where we know His voice and the voice of a stranger we will not follow. That we're trusting with all our heart. We're leaning not on understanding. And we're desiring to be in the right place at the right time. And you think some days this can't be the right place. And at the end of the day, sometimes you look back and you like, wow, look what happened, and I thought I was in the wrong place. And God just said, you know, I needed you there today. You know, got time to do that tomorrow. It's amazing when we start, it has been for me. I don't know about for y'all, but it makes things a whole lot easier when you think, you know what? He fashioned my days for me. And if I will get in line with what He fashioned for me, even though some days the flesh is wanting to do something else, at the end of the day, there's a peace and there is a satisfaction of knowing that, you know what? I listened to God today. The George Strait song, I heard God today. I saw God today. And we do. We get the opportunity to see Him and hear Him. And we get this deal of knowing, you know what? Man, I brought thanksgiving unto God today. Those people, maybe it was someone, maybe just whatever the situation or circumstance, rather than involve people or whatever you're doing, it's just knowing that my God desires me to be in those, fulfill those days He fashioned for me, because I can't make none as good as He made them. Sometimes we think we can. Well, I'd much rather enjoy this over here. And then the boat breaks down, the truck breaks down, you got a flat on the, you know, a lot of those things could have been avoided, because we might have been in the wrong place at the wrong time by just being hard-headed. Now, I know a lot of y'all can't relate to that, but I can. I get it. And then what's really good, Ricky, is when you're, you know, maybe Laurie told you, probably shouldn't go that way today. Well, no, I'm going. And at the end of the day, when you've had to fix all these other things, she just looks at you and she doesn't even have to say anything because you know what she's thinking. But our wives are so sweet. They don't tell us that. They just give us that look. And you look at her and say, I know, you know. And you go on. No, men, look, don't go. It's okay. We all done it. It's not a big deal. I done completely lost where I was at. So, expectation. Do what?
Down the wrong rabbit
track. Yeah, there you go. Expectation is strong belief that something will happen. One prospect of inheritance, we are the seed of Abraham. No, that wasn't where I was going. Let me back up here. The expectation is a strong belief that something is going to happen because of the effort we put into doing what God called us to do. And that's, you know, and it's just, expecting to my welds to hold, or I expect to win because I've practiced, or that expectation. We got to cultivate that expectation, And it's each and every one of us is in here is fully capable. I'm gonna read through some scriptures just right quick and just remind you of them. We need to remember that we are the seed of Abraham, and you can find that in Romans 8:17, Galatians 3:29, and Hebrews 10:35 says, "We cast not away our confidence in Him which has great reward." And Hebrews 11:6, "For God rewards those who diligently seek Him." You know, I have an intense expectation to be rewarded by my Heavenly Father. And I'm not talking about maybe something that you can grasp with your hands, physical. I'm just talking about that expectation of the reward of God's well done. That expectation of knowing that I please the Father today. That right there, that's a reward that surpasses all understanding. It overrides things that might have went wrong when we have that expectation there. Jesus has given us, in Luke 10:19, we know that Jesus has given us the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And we're His hands and His feet. We're His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:10, born anew for good works that He has ordained and appointed us to walk in. You know, it's time for us. We choose life. We lay aside every weight and sin that would beset us so we can run with patience the race that He set before us. Now turn with me to Acts 4:29. I want to look at a couple of scriptures right here and just... You can turn to Acts 4 and Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures and then we're going to go. You know, the duty is ours and the results are God's. Don't get that. The duty is ours and the results are God's. So when we purpose to be doers of the word, when we purpose to delight ourselves in the Word, when we purpose to meditate on the Word, we create this expectation and we enjoy doing what God's called us to do. And then we get to see the manifestations of it, rather, whatever. So many different areas. But a couple things that I just really, Ephesians 4:29. "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. And by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." As I began to meditate on that a while back, the Lord really impressed upon me. When you speak boldly, you'll see those things happen. We just got to speak the word. Not my own opinion. Not what, we shall speak the word. Now in Ephesians chapter 6, I think I'll start in verse 19. And I've been asking for this right here. So this was Paul when he was in prison. "And for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And that grabs me right there from the standpoint of when I meditate on the Word, delight myself in the Word, I get this relentless expectation created, manifested in my life that I'm expecting, And when we expect, it's a lot easier to keep our confessions in line with the Word of God, because we don't want to dig up no seed. We don't want to make those words void. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We can go all through Proverbs and look at all of the things that describes, what comes out of our mouth. What we confess, we possess. So this week, I'm declaring over you that every time you confess something you don't want, you're going to realize it. Now, we did that, me and Kenny and Kathy, when we were ministering at High School Royals of Seguin one year at Region 6, and I told the kids that week, I said, y'all watch what mom and dad are saying. And we were talking about your words and all those things, and we told them kids, you really pay attention to what you're saying this week, and listen to your parents too. Well, the next month at the Region Rodeo, the parents are like, okay, Rusty, the kids got it. They're constantly telling us for the last month, every time something comes out of our mouth that we didn't want, they let us know. Do you really want that? Man, you talk about you talk about it excite you. You know, kids get it. Young people get it. I don't know if they're just not as preoccupied as we are about things sometimes, but they get it, and they got it. And when we begin to get that, we see the manifestation of God in every area of our lives. But knowing that Jesus come so that we could walk in all that, he bought all that back for us. When Adam and Eve, you know, gave it away in the Garden of Eden, you know, and sinned, and every man sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. So, you know, one of the first keys to walking, to being able to light in the Word of God, to where it makes sense to us, and meditate on it, and see the manifestation of that expectation take place, we got to know Jesus. Because he's the author of life. And you know, if that's you today, and you've never made Jesus Christ Lord, your Savior, and you were to, I don't use fear factors, but if you were to die today, and you don't know where you would spend eternity, you know, then you have an opportunity here. We're going to give you an opportunity. We're going to pray with you. We're not going to embarrass you, but we're all going to pray together, and we're going to pray a prayer. And if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and you want him to help you walk out the destiny that he formed for you, listen, I don't care who you, even if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to tell you what, if you've never made him Lord of your life, he still fashioned your days for you before he formed you in your mother's womb. And he wrote those days down for you in his book. And so, you know what? You think back, well, it's too late now. No, because Jesus said, I can restore all the days the cankerworm stole from you. He can bring it back, boom, just like that. Have us in the right place at the right time. Fix things that we thought would never be fixed. But the big deal is eternity. We want to spend in the presence of God or out of his presence. You know, people say, well, God, he ain't a good God if he'd send people to hell. If God don't send nobody to hell, we choose. He said, I set before you life and death. Adam and Eve did not have to partake of the fruit. He told them, don't do it. They chose to do it, but he still loved us so much, he made a way through Jesus. So, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you desire to do that today, we're going to pray this prayer together. Just pray it with us out loud. And like I say, we won't embarrass you, but pray this with us. Father God, thank you today for loving me, for fashioning my days for me. Now I want to fulfill those days, but I don't know you yet, so I'm going to know you now. I realize, Jesus, that you came to set me free, to save me from my sins, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And so with that being said, I'm asking you, Jesus, to come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior, and restore those days that I haven't got to fulfill, but that I'm going to. So I thank you, Lord, that I'm now yours. My name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name, before we say amen, every head bowed and every eye closed. If today is the day that you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, all I want you to do is I'm going to count to three. Raise your hand. We're going to get a Bible to you. We won't embarrass you. Ready? One, two, three. Anybody? Okay, y'all look up. Believe everybody's saved this morning. Guys, I thank y'all. This was just an expectation, relentless expectation. Expect God to move on your behalf. You know, expect when you pray for people, even though they walk off and you don't see a change, expect them to change. Whether it's physical, a physical deal, emotional deal, just keep expecting, because it may be our expectation that brings them into the threshold of where God wanted them. Because they may not be there yet enough that they can really expect. But when we expect, because we prayed for them, our prayers don't return void. Thank you, guys. In Jesus' name.